Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining us here at Believers Victory Church. Today we have an inspiring, powerful message that will change your life. Let's listen in as Pastor Peggy Heal teaches us from the Word of God.
Glory, 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 glory. Hey, I'm excited to be in church today. It's always good to be here. And, you know, it's 2017, and today, like for me, I think, like, okay, tomorrow is like, all right, let's do this, right? Let's get this done. Let's do 2017. Let's do it right. You know, we always like to take a little break at the beginning. It's still the holiday. Everybody's still in holiday mindset. And so tomorrow starts our 21 days of prayer and fasting. Yes. I have such high expectations. I just know God's going to do some amazing things. And speaking of amazing things, last year we started out the year again with 21 days of prayer and fasting. You know, there is power in what you put first. Amen. There, whatever you put first sets a precedent for your life. I believe in the power of first. You know, my first fruit goes to the Lord. You know, with Scott and I, we have our finances set up. The very first thing that comes out is what goes to Jesus. Amen. And then for the year, when the reason that we do 21 days of prayer and fasting, the reason we don't do it in June is because we want to put God first. We want to just set aside this time and say, this is special time. It's extra. How many know you're going to be doing some extra stuff in the 21 days? We're going to be praying more. We're going to be spending more time with God. And so it's that first of the year, the power of the first. And how many have ever heard the illustration? I think it would be called an illustration of sharpening the soul. Anybody know this illustration? You know, if you got to cut down a whole bunch of trees, and you know, that's kind of like life. You got a whole bunch of stuff to get done, right? How many got stuff to do? The rest of you guys, you have nothing to do? I'll give you some of my stuff to do, all right? Some are like, I don't have anything to do. I'll give you some of my stuff to do, all right? Because I got a lot to do. How many got a lot to do, right? You know, but you got a lot to do. You got a lot of things you want to accomplish. You got the things that you have to do. You know, we got, how many know you got to do laundry, right? Yeah. You know, you got to wash some dishes. You got to clean the bathroom. You got to do those kind of things. But there's also things we want to do, some things that God's put on the inside of you, that just some dreams and some desires that God's placed in you. Maybe you're sitting here this morning and you're, you know, looking at Selena standing on the stage singing, and you're like, man, I want to do that. Amen? Or you're looking at, you know, Pastor Scott and you know, looking at Josh. How many knew Josh played the guitar, right? That kid can do anything. And, you know, he reminds me a lot of Scott. He does. And, you know, and so, you know, you see him, man, I want to do that. And so, you know, you've got some things, or maybe there's some stuff inside you. There's a promotion at work, or something. You say, man, I want to do that. Well, you know what? When you put this time aside, what you're doing is you're sharpening yourself. Because how many know it's going to be a whole lot easier to get the trees done, to get the trees cut with a sharp saw? Amen. Sometimes we need to take a step back and sharpen ourselves up, and that makes us more effective for the whole rest of the year. And that's what these 21 days do. It sets us up. It gets us sharp. And you know what? We did it last year, and we had a fantastic year. And we want to show everybody what a great year we had. So we've got a little recap video of what we all did. Go ahead, guys. Amen. I don't know what happened to the sound, but that's pretty powerful, all the things that happened last year. And that's just what we've got on there. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So exciting to be part of all that. We can't do it just one person, but all of us together, we can do amazing things. And this year we have more things planned. We've got some young people, some young adults that are going to go over to Guatemala in March. Looking forward to that. If you're interested in going, come and talk with me or talk with Ben and go over there. And, you know, we have our orphanage over there, and we've done some amazing things in our orphanage this year. Just some of the children that we've been, you know, in Guatemala, it's different. You don't get to pick what kids you have in your home. They just come. The government decides all of that. And so some of the children that we've had this year that have become part of our home are ones with severe medical needs. One of the little boys I've talked about several times, he came to us with burns over 80% of his body, and unknown how he received them. And so all of the workers and all the people had to be trained specially how to care for him and take care of him, and just some amazing things. And all that's made possible because of you. Amen. All that's made possible because of our church, because we love the Lord, because we want to do great things for God. Amen. And so I look forward to this year, just all those numbers being more. Amen. God wants to take us from glory to glory. And I just believe that all of it's going to be increased, and we're just going to do more for Jesus, because this world needs more Jesus. Amen. You know, a lot of times we want to see the answer. You know, we have all the same problems. And even here, so close to home, what happened in Fort Lauderdale just the last couple of days is heartbreaking. And, you know, you see that and you think, you know, people's lives are just changed, and families are changed in just an instant. And the answer is not a certain political person. That's not the answer, because it doesn't matter who is in office. You still have these same problems. Amen. The answer is the body of Christ rising up. Amen. The answer is the power of God. And that's what we're here for. Amen. That's what we're here for, because when you have God in a situation, that's when it really changes. And so, you know, as we prepare for 2017 and getting ready for our 21 days of prayer and fasting, just as individuals, as we allow God to do what he wants to do in us, then it just kind of, it goes to overflow, and it spreads out to everybody around us. And so we're going to talk today, if you want to turn over your Bibles to John chapter 8. We're going to talk today and just get everybody ready for the 21 days. Who's ready? Who's ready? Who's ready? Pastor Devon, the overachiever, he started today. I was like, why did you? He thought it started today. That's why, though. But, you know, the thing is that we want to be ready. And I know this is a time of New Year's resolutions, and today is the 8th. And maybe you're here this morning and you've already given up on 2017. You know, and hey, it happens. You know, you're just like, I had some plans. I had some New Year's resolutions. I didn't make any of them, and forget it. You know, I want to encourage you. Come on now. You can do it. We can do it together. Or maybe you look at your New Year's resolution list and they look very similar to last year's, right? Anybody, I've got some that look very similar to last year and the year before. But the thing is, what we try to do with change is that we try to change without adding what helps us, what empowers us to change. Amen. And so we want to make sure that we've all got all the right ingredients for this year. Because, you know, I like food, right? I know that may come as a shock. And I love chocolate chip cookies. Do not make me any, though, because I'm fasting starting tomorrow. I'm going to eat some today because I got to start fasting tomorrow, right? But, you know, the thing is, if you have chocolate chip cookies without chocolate chips, how many know that's not a chocolate chip cookie? I don't even know what that is, but it's not a chocolate chip cookie. It's something, but it's not what it's supposed to be. It's something, but it's not what it's supposed to be. And, you know, sometimes when I look at areas of my own life, this isn't a this kind of message. This is a this kind of message, right? Or I can just preach to myself. When I look at certain areas of my life, it's something, but it's not what it's supposed to be. Anybody else have some of those things? It's something, but it's not what it's supposed to be, because I'm probably missing an ingredient. And so we want to make sure that we have all the right ingredients for this year to be the best year. You know, we can look at things that are happening in our nation, in the world, and if you let it, those kind of things will make you think like, what's the point? What's the use with all this going on? But you know what? To change all this going on, we got to change us. Amen? We got to get us where we need to be. And when we do that, that change impacts everything. And so we just want to talk here in John chapter 8, verses 31 through 36. It says, to the Jews who had believed him. And so let's just stop there for a second. Don't cross yourself off, because you're like, well, that's not to me. I'm not a Jew. No, it's to the Jews who had believed him, so it's to anyone who believes him. Amen? It says, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And notice it's a if then. If you do this, then. He says, if you know me and you hold to my teaching. Man, if we could get any truth this year, let's get that one. We need to hold to Jesus's teaching. Amen. We need to hold to his word, because, you know, you might be here today and you may be like, I don't really know about this Jesus thing. Listen, you know, time proves things out, doesn't it? Time proves things out. And there is one person, there is one place, there is one thing, you could say, that has not changed century after century, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? He has not changed. He is the same. He does not change. And he says, if you hold to my teaching, you're really my disciples. He says, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. How many want to be free? I want to be free from some things. They answered him and said, we are Abraham's descendants, because they were Jews, and have not been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free? So they're like, we've never been slaves. What are you even talking about? But here's what he says. He says, Jesus replied, he says, we've never been free. We've never been slaves. How can you say that we shall be set free? They're like, we don't have any bondage. What are you talking about? And Jesus replied, he says, very truly, I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. So that just included, that just lumped us all in there, because we all sin. And he says, now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. One of the things that we have to recognize in order to be free is to recognize we're not free in some areas. We can, and that's what the Bible would call a bondage. We can be in bondage, you know, when we think of the word bondage, or sometimes a lot of times we think of addiction, like someone who's addicted to things, like addicted to drugs or addicted to pornography or addicted to alcohol. We think of that kind of thing and say that person's in bondage to that. But we can be in bondage not just so much to what we can't give up. You can be in bondage to not being able to change the things you want to change, not living the life you know that belongs to you. We can be in bondage to mediocrity. We can be in bondage to fear of stepping out. You can be in bondage to debt. You can be in bondage to people-pleasing. You can be in bondage to a lot of different things. Bondage is anything that is keeping you from living the life you know belongs to you. Amen? Bondage is anything that keeps us apart from or away from or not having in fullness what Jesus has provided for us. That's bondage. And so I don't know about you, but I know there's areas in my life that I need some freedom in. I need some freedom in that area. Freedom to step out, freedom to step up, freedom to do what I know God has for me. Freedom to get those chocolate chips in my cookies, where it's not just something, but it's what it's supposed to be. Amen. How many want to look at your marriage and it not just be, well, I'm married, but you want to look at it and be, man, it is what it's supposed to be. It's what it's supposed to be. Yes. And so when we look at this, we got to recognize first and foremost that, hey, I need some chips. I need some chocolate chips. I'm missing them. How many need some chocolate chips in some area of your life? You need some chips in there. Maybe in your finances, in your marriage, in your kids, in your job, wherever. In your mind, what's going on in your head? Some people are tortured every day by their very own thoughts. Oh, it's heartbreaking. Some of you need to be free from your past. You're repeating the pattern of your parents. What you swore you would never do, you are doing. You need to get free from that. And the Bible says that we can get free from that. He said, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And so we're going to look today just at really, we're going to kind of identify some things. And this is, you know, I need permission, and I know that I already have it, or you wouldn't still be here. I need to be the pastor who doesn't just say, woo, it's going to be a great year. You guys are so awesome. Praise the Lord. Let's take up an offering and go home. How many know, as a pastor, a lot of times you got to speak the truth as well. And so we might need to get, you know, spiritually, like, shook up a little bit today. We're saying, you know what? Yeah, that's right. That is me. I need to change that. That is me. I need to work on that. Because if I don't do that, I'm not doing my job. And you know what? Really, honestly, I need it too. Amen. So if you're here today and you say, well, this message isn't for me, well, it's for me. All right? It's for me. It's for Pastor Angel too, I bet. So we're going to look over in Corinthians. And we're going to look at what Paul talks about is different kinds of people. And so let's really locate ourselves, because how many know you can get anywhere from here? Right? You can get anywhere from here. You can get anywhere this year from where you are right now. But in order to get somewhere, you got to know where you are. You got to know where you are. And so when we look here in Corinthians, this is a letter that Paul wrote, the Apostle Paul wrote it to the church. And it was a corrective letter. How many know the Bible says that God corrects those he loves? Some of you are like, are you kidding me? I came to church this morning for this. It'll help you. Amen. It's good for us. Because you know what? Remember, we're going to sharpen up now so that we've got, so at the end of this year, that video looks even better. If we were to do a recap video of your life, what would it look like? That's pretty good, right? If we were like, you know, if we sent Ben, oh, you know, he does all the videos. If we sent Ben over to your house and he's like, hey, we got to do a video of your year. What happened? Well, I watched a lot of TV. You know, I went to work every day. You know, I don't know. I don't know what I did, right? I don't know. Let's know. Amen. Let's locate ourselves so that we can say, this is where I'm at. But it's not about where I'm at. It's about where I'm going. Oh, yes. Amen? And so Paul writes in here in Corinthians, and he identifies some people. He identifies some types of people. And the first one he is, if you're following along on your notes, I'm giving everybody notes, so follow along, take some notes, and this would be a good one for you to keep. The first one is the unspiritual person. The unspiritual person. And so when we look at that and we say, well, who is that person? You know, the Bible says that as soon as you sin, your spirit dies. It dies. And that's why Jesus said that you must be born again. And that's when you get born again, when Jesus comes into your life, your spirit man is made brand new. It comes alive again. It is born again. Does that make sense? It's born again. But here in 1 Corinthians 2:14, he says, the person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. And so he's talking, he says, the unspiritual person, this person the spirit man is not made alive yet. How many know we are three-part beings? All right, this is going to be a little bit of a heavy teaching message today, but hold on and grab a hold of it. Hold on to the teachings of Jesus. Amen? Let's hold on to these. We are three-part beings. We have a body. Ta-da! Right? That's what you can see. We have our mind. That's our emotions, the soul part of us. We have our soul is our mind, our will, and our emotions. So I have a body and I have a mind. My will and my emotions equal up my soul. And then I have my spirit. My spirit being, that's who I really am. So I'm a three-part being. And so in this, he's saying, listen, when you're unspiritual, that basically means that you are ruled by your mind and your body. Those are what's alive in you, your mind and your body. And then he says the next kind of person is a spiritual person. The spiritual person. And in 1 Corinthians 2:15, he says, the person with the spirit makes judgments about all things. How can you make judgments about all things? Doesn't mean you go around judging people. That's not what I was talking about. It means that you see clearly because you have the Spirit. He says, the person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgments, for who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. He's talking about a spiritual person. He's saying, you, the part of you that is ruling, that's in charge, is your spirit. You're a spiritual person. An unspiritual person, the part of you that's ruling, that's in charge, is your mind and your body. The spiritual person, you've let your spirit man grow up. And then he says, the third one, is a worldly person. Or your Bible might call it a carnal person. Carnal. A carnal person. How many have ever opened up a, well, wait a minute, I'll get to that in a minute. First Corinthians, I'm like, opened up a what? You know what? No, I'm kidding. First Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 and 3, as Paul writes, brothers and sisters, he says, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly. And now here's the thing, he's writing this letter to the church. To the church. These are people that go to church. And he says, brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit. Who would that be? Spiritual person. But as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. He says, I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly. You're still worldly. You're still carnal. And he says, and you know how I know it? Because for since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, you are not worldly. And he says, are you not acting like mere humans? The word carnal means unchanged. If the relationship you have with Jesus isn't changing you, then it is not healthy. It's not healthy. You know, I can't tell you how many times people come in and they're like, man, I got a sin problem. I got a problem with sin. And I always tell them, there's no such thing as a sin problem. And what they're saying is, I can't stop sinning. I can't change. I can't be the person I want to be. I can't walk in love with my husband. I can't. I still got all this stuff that is just tormenting me, and I can't get rid of it. And you know, the problem isn't the sin. The problem is the relationship. What's happened is that when we think about ourselves, and you look at here, you say, man, which one of these am I? Am I unspiritual? I just, you know, my spirit man is dead. It's just he's been dormant for so long. I don't hear anymore. Or maybe you're here and you're the spiritual person where you're ruled by your spirit. That's what's most important to you. Or you're here and you're the worldly person where you just got too much world, too much flesh, and too much your mind controlling things. Here's how you know. You say, how do I know which one of those I am? What's strongest in you? Is your mind the strongest? Is it all about, well, let me figure this out? There's nothing wrong with figuring things out. There's nothing wrong with that. But there's many times we just got to say, Lord, I trust you. Are you the person who's unspiritual, where spiritual things don't even make sense to you because your spirit man hasn't been fed, hasn't been heard from? He's dormant. Or are you that spiritual person where you're getting fed by the Spirit, you're spending time with God, or that worldly person where you might dip your toe into the things of God, but the rest of you is in the world. The rest of you is doing all the things that you want to do because there's no change. And so we got to identify ourselves, because here's the thing, if you want to have the best year of your life, the only way to do that is have the best spiritual year of your life. That's the only way to do it. Because if you try to do it any other way, whatever you're holding on to isn't going to last. That's why so many times when people have addictions and they try, and I'm not anti anything, I'm pro Jesus. But when people have addictions and they just try to do it one certain way without Jesus, usually they're just replacing that addiction with something else. Something not as toxic, which is great. But when you put Jesus in the mix, he can change you completely. You're not just replacing one thing for another. You're becoming a brand new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. I don't want another. I don't want another level of bondage. I want to be free. I want to be free. And so when we look here, we got to ask ourselves, you know, who am I? And the thing I was going to ask you about the can, how many have ever opened up a can of chili and it says chili con carne? Right? Some of you are like, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't eat that kind of stuff. Fasting starts tomorrow, all right? You know, I ate at McDonald's yesterday, all right? So listen, What does that mean? It means chili with meat. With meat. And Paul was telling them, he's like, listen, I can't even give you the meat of the word because you can't handle it. You're beans only. Right? And you know what happens when you're beans only? When you're beans only, that's dangerous, right? And so we don't want to be beans only. We want to get the meat of the word. Amen? But in order to do that, we've got to grow up a little bit. You know, if one of you guys came walking in here and you're still sucking out of a bottle, we would be like, what in the world, right? Like, there's something wrong there. But you know what? There's people that have been coming to church for years and still only will take the milk of the word. Whenever any correction comes, wait a minute, you're not meeting my needs anymore. Wait a minute. Listen, church was never designed to meet your needs. Church is designed to meet the needs of the world. Amen? That's what we're here for. We're here to meet the needs of the world by giving them the gospel, by loving them even though they're unlovable. That's what the church is for. The church isn't to meet our needs. We're here to be need meters, right? Amen. And so let's not be babies where we say, oh, where anything makes me uncomfortable, anything doesn't make me feel good, I don't want to hear it. Isn't that how babies are? That's how immature people are, too. Whenever you tell them something they need to hear, I don't want to hear that. You're making me uncomfortable. I need to get to a safe space. No, what you need to do is hear the truth. So the truth will set you free. So the truth will empower you. So the truth will change you. Truth grows you up.
Amen. Amen.
Right? Truth grows you up. And so we need the truth of the word. And so when we look here and we see that there's unspiritual people, we don't want to be that person. There's spiritual people. That's the kind we want to be. Because what matters is what happens in the spirit. That's what matters because it affects everything. And then that worldly person, we don't want to be that person. We don't want to be the worldly person. And so over in Matthew chapter 17, we're going to look at the problem and the solution. In Matthew 17, 14, and 18, it says this. When they came to the crowd, a man approached Jesus and knelt before him, and he said, Lord, have mercy on my son, he said. He has seizures and is suffering greatly. He often falls into the fire or into the water. He says, I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal him. Let's stop right there. This is unusual because if you remember, if you read your Bible, you'll recognize that the disciples had great results with praying for people. People got healed all the time when the disciples prayed for them, right? That's what happened. So this is unusual. He says, I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal him. And so Jesus, he doesn't say, oh, they were having a tough day, those disciples. It's okay. No, Jesus is tough, man. You know, everybody's like, oh, what would Jesus do? Jesus would tell you how it is. That's what Jesus would do. Jesus would call you out. That's what Jesus would do. And so he says, Jesus says, oh, unbelieving and perverse generation. One guy, they can't get healed, and that's what he tells them, right? He's like, oh, unbelieving and perverse generation, Jesus replied, how long shall I stay with you? Listen to this. How long shall I put up with you? Isn't that crazy? How long do I got to put up with you? That's Jesus talking. And he says this. He says, bring the boy here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of the boy, and he was healed from that moment. And so Jesus calls out two problems. Because, see, listen, when you can't get done what you need done, there's a problem. Peggy, are you listening? Yes, I am. Yes. I'm listening too. When you can't get done what you want done, what you know God wants done, there is a problem. And Jesus said they couldn't get done what needed to get done. And so Jesus said, you got two problems. You're unbelieving and you're perverse. You're unbelieving and you're perverse. Now here's what unbelieving means. It means that you are not connected to God. You're not connected. You're born again. You got some things going on. You're not connected. The disciples, they were connected to Jesus, right? But when we have a lack of faith in an area, we are unconnected in that area. We're unconnected. We're not connected as well as we need to be. And you know what perverse is? Man, if you hear anything I say today, hear this. Sometimes we look at things, we're like, man, what is wrong with people? Because perversion grows. It grows. It grows to a place that isn't good. And so Jesus is telling us, listen, you unbelieving and perverse generation, here's what perverse means. It means too connected to the world. Jesus said, listen, you're not connected to me enough, and you're too connected to the world. And so some of those things that we want done, some of those tough nuts to crack, like this situation, they couldn't do anything about it. And maybe we've been writing down, I'm not going to say we've been writing down the same New Year's resolution. We've been writing down the same dream that we want, that we know is God's plan for our life. We've been writing it down year after year after year after year, and we still haven't broken through. And Jesus would say, listen, you got two problems. You're not connected enough to me, and you're too connected to the world. You're too connected. Man, you can get too connected to worldly stuff. And that's why when some people say, oh, that doesn't even bother me. I can watch that, it doesn't even bother me. You know why you can watch that and it doesn't bother you? It's because you're too connected to it. You're too connected to it. And so Jesus said, listen, that's the problem. But then how many know Jesus always, he might be tough, but he always gives a solution. He always gives an answer. He always gives direction. Listen, God will never correct you without directing you. Never. God will never correct you. He'll never say, hey, listen, you need to change this. He'll never correct you without giving you direction on what to do, how to do it right. And so Jesus says this. He says, then the disciples came to Jesus in private. Why did they come in private? Because they just got called out in front of everybody, right? They just got called out. And so they're like, Jesus, come here. You know, and so they ask him, they said, hey, why couldn't we drive it out? Why couldn't we do it? He replied, because you have so little faith. You have so little faith. He says, I tell you the truth. How many know sometimes the truth hurts? Sometimes the truth does hurt, but the truth will set you free. I don't know about you, but there's some things I want to get free from. There's some things I want to get free from, and there are things I want to get free into. I want to get into some things. And the only way I'm going to do that is by being free in Jesus, by really just letting God do what God wants to do in me. Amen? And so he says, because you have so little faith, I tell you the truth, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. He says, nothing will be impossible for you. Isn't that powerful? Nothing is impossible for you. Nothing that is part of the plan of God for you is impossible. Amen? Nothing that is part of the plan of God for you is impossible. So you may have come in here today, and maybe you already blew all your New Year's resolutions. Boom! It's a brand new day. Amen? Amen. And you just got to put the missing part in there. You got to put the chips in. You got to put those chips in and say, "All right, I'm gonna do it the way God says to do it." Because so often we try to change just with willpower, and you cannot change just with willpower. You don't change; you just recycle stuff. You just get something different. You just change one addiction or one bondage for something else. Let's get really free. The only way to do that is with Jesus. And so He says here. He says, nothing will be impossible for you, but this kind. This kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. Now, there are things that we've all had victory in, right? Raise your hand if you've had some victory this year. Amen. Rest of you need to come to church a little more, right? Yeah. You need some help. We need to pray for you, obviously. We need to pray more for you. But we've all had, you're living, you're breathing, that's victory, amen? Yeah. That's victory. Amen. But there's some things that have just been, oh, they're just tough. You know what I call it? This is a tough nut to crack, man. It's just like, you know, maybe you just can't see clearly on something. You're just, it's just something, there's something, there's more to it. You know there's more to it. Or it's just a tough thing. How many just got a tough thing in your life? I'm going to raise both hands. This is, we got some tough things. And Jesus said, listen, for some things, you got to pray and fast. Because what was the problem? The problem was that they were unbelieving and perverse. And Jesus always gives a solution. And so, unbelieving and perverse, you know what the solution to that is? Prayer and fasting. There were two problems, and Jesus says there's two solutions. And because here's what prayer does. Prayer connects you to God. That's what prayer does. Isn't that what unbelieving is, not being connected enough? So what's the solution? If you don't feel connected to God, what's the solution? Prayer. Because prayer connects you to God. Prayer connects you. And then for perverse, you're too connected to the world. Too connected. You know what the solution is? Fasting. Because you know what fasting does? It disconnects you from the world. Now, that doesn't mean like, for the next 21 days, I'm going to be in my room, right? You know, I'm going to shut the door, I'm going to be in my room, don't talk to me. That's not what we're talking about. When you fast, when you put something down, when you say, you know what, I'm going to lay this down for Jesus. I'm gonna deny myself this. I'm gonna say no to my wants, because you know where those wants come from? They come from my soul area. They come from that area. I want to strengthen my spirit man. And in order to strengthen my spirit man, I'm gonna say no to some things that I like, and I'm gonna say more yeses to time spent with God. I'm gonna say no to these things. I'm going to say yes to prayer. That's why we do prayer and fasting together. Because I'm going to put some things down, but I'm going to pick up something different. I'm going to put down, maybe you're going to put down TV, or you're going to put down secular music. You're going to put down those country tunes. You're going to put them down. Not that they're bad. We're not saying that they're bad. We're saying, you know what? That's entertainment to me. I'm going to put that down, and I'm going to pick up more time with the Lord. Not forever. We can't live like this. Look at your neighbor and say, we can't live like this. Right? We'd get weird and flaky. Right? You ever met somebody and they're like, oh, I don't watch any TV. I don't do this. I don't do that. Next thing, they're weird and flaky usually. Right? I mean, don't look around. We're not judging anybody. But they're usually weird. And it's like when they say, oh, do you want to come to church with me? You're like, no, thank you. Thank you. Thanks for asking, but no. Because why? They're weird. So we can't live like this. But there are seasons all through the Old Testament and the New Testament. Fasting is always described as a powerful season. It's a season. It's a time. It's a short time. Jesus fasted. The Old Testament prophets fasted. It's a powerful time where we're just saying, you know what? I'm going to say no. I'm going to strengthen my spirit man by saying no to my soul, to my emotions, to my wants. To those, I'm going to say no to those things so that I can say yes more to the things of the Lord. And so that's what prayer and fasting does. Prayer, it connects me to God. And so yesterday, on Saturday, I told Pastor Scott, I was like, do not wake me up. If I sleep till noon, do not wake me up. Because it is my last day to sleep in for 21 days. Do not disturb. I'm going to be sleeping, but you can't sleep in at my house because there's four yappers and they're like, are we getting up? What are we doing? You know, I mean, they're on a schedule, you know, but I did sleep. I slept to like 9:20 and I looked at my clock. I thought it was like 11 o'clock in the afternoon. I was like, oh, this is fabulous. I look at my clock. It was 9:20. But you know, the thing is, I'm not going to get up at 7 o'clock in the morning every day for the rest of my life. Some of you are like, well, I do. Good for you. Give yourself a pat on the back. Good for you. I'm not going to do it. But the thing, or poor Anthony, he gets up at like 3 in the morning or something crazy. But the thing is, for the next 21 days, when my flesh, when my alarm goes off and my flesh is saying, Ben could do prayer this morning, you know. Somebody else has the key. They'll let people in. Listen, never make a decision when you're laying in bed. That's just words of wisdom right there, right? Because you don't feel like doing anything when you're laying in bed. So I've made a decision now that every day for the next 21 days, I'm going to get up, I'm going to be here on time, ready to pray, ready to go. What am I doing? I'm telling my flesh, we're going to do this for Jesus. And when we do that, I'm putting my flesh down because, listen, my flesh does not want to get up at anything that even sounds with a 6 in it, ever. 6 a.m., 6:15, 6:30, 6:40. If I get up at 6:40, I've got 5 minutes to get ready. So, you know, listen, I'm just telling you now, if you come to prayer in the morning at 7 o'clock, I don't look like this. I look dramatic. You may not even recognize me. You'll be like, who's that new person? But the thing is that what's happening, I'm putting that flesh part of me down, yeah. That part of me that wants to sleep, I'm putting that down, and I'm strength. It's like doing curls with my spirit man, because every day that I get up, I'm going to be stronger spiritually. Why? Because I'm connecting more. I'm disconnecting from those wants, those desires, those fleshly things. I'm disconnecting from that, and I'm connecting more with the Lord. There's power in it. There is power in it. And so for our 21 days of prayer and fasting, we start tomorrow. We start tomorrow. Yeah. And listen, I encourage you, really, really think about what you're going to fast. You know, I know some people immediately, they're like, oh, I'm fasting coffee. I'm fasting coffee. Listen, ask your spouse before you do that. All right? Just ask your spouse if they think that's wisdom. If they think that's wisdom. You know, there are many things, you know, don't fast cauliflower. I'm fasting cauliflower and Brussels sprouts. Okay. No, we don't want to fast things that we like. And there's different kinds of fasts. And we have it all up on our Facebook page for you. You can look on there, a whole guide to fasting. There's different kinds. There's what we call a complete fast, which I know there's a couple people do that. Listen, if you're going to do that, you need to be ready for it. Preferably you've done it before, and you need to probably talk to a doctor or somebody before you do it. That's where all you do is water and juice. All right? I'm not there yet. I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't think I can do that. You know, if you do that, again, good for you. Pat on the back. Praise the Lord. You're super spiritual. All right? But listen, it's not about proving anything to anyone. It's about doing what's right for you. And so you could do a complete fast. You know, we wouldn't recommend anything more than like 3 days. People are like, oh, Jesus did it for 40 days. Listen, you are not Jesus. All right? You're not Jesus. Okay? So give yourself a little break. You're not Jesus. So there's that complete fast. And then what we would call there's one where it's some people call it a Jewish fast. And that's where you only eat certain times of the day. Like, I know a couple people did this last year where they fast all day and then they have one meal at night. They only eat during certain times. We call that a Jewish fast. Some people do that. Then there's what we would call a partial fast, or a lot of people call like the Daniel fast. We know in the Daniel in the Old Testament, he only ate certain foods. He only ate, he did not eat any meat or sweets or bread. And so on the Daniel fast, which many of us in here have done, you know, you don't eat any animal products, you don't eat any of that. So basically, you eat nuts. No, I'm kidding. There's more. You eat vegetables, and you eat fruit, and you eat nuts, right? That's what you eat. And so I have done that one. I completed that one. After I did that Daniel fast, I felt like I could do anything, right? Because it is not easy. And so you don't eat any animal products. So no milk, no cheese, none of that. You know, sometimes somebody's sitting across from me and they're like, oh, I'm on the Daniel fast, and they're eating like eggs. And I'm like, really? You know what we call that? What do we call that, Josh? We call that the Daniela fast. That's a girly fast. So listen, now don't be like me and judge people. Don't do that, all right? So you gotta do what's right for you. So, or a partial fast, where some people say, you know, I'm doing a partial fast. I'm not eating any of whatever it is for you. And then what is called, this isn't technically a fast, but I think it's very powerful. We have a soul fast, where you fast things. You know, like sometimes we fast TV. You know, for the last few years, Pastor Scott and I have fasted all TV, movies, all that kind of stuff. And that's very difficult. And you really realize how much time you have in your hands. And but it's very powerful. It's very powerful. Some people fast, you know, they fast certain types of music, or they fast the radio in their car. It's whatever you're going to put down. You know, that means a lot of people fast social media, which is difficult for a lot of people, but it's great. You know, whatever you decide to do is between you and the Lord. But whatever you decide to do, write it down and don't vary from it. You know, one day you come in and be like, oh yeah, I'm on a media fast. Next week, oh no, I'm doing something different now. No, that's not how this works. You make a decision and you follow through. Amen? Make a decision and you follow through with your fast. But here's the thing. Three things for this on your fast is, number one, you got to set your objective. Fasting is always for a purpose. It's always for a purpose. And maybe here today and you need clarity on a subject. Well, say, I'm fasting for that. Maybe you're here and you need direction for your life. Say, I'm fasting for that. A lot of people, you know, maybe you're going to fast Diet Coke. People say, when somebody offers you a Diet Coke, you say, you know what? I'm fasting from that. I'm putting that aside because I'm seeking clarity in a certain area of my life. So set an objective. The Bible says in James 4:2-3, it says, you do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. And so set your objective. What are you fasting for? Maybe you're fasting to have a closer relationship with the Lord. Maybe you're fasting because you have family members that are unsaved and crazy. Don't we all, right? Maybe you're fasting for that. So you've got to set an objective. Number two, decide what you will do. Make a decision and stick to it. Don't vary from it. That's where the power comes. The power comes in commitment. And number three, expect results. Expect results. Isaiah chapter 58 is kind of known as the fasting chapter. And here's what it says in Isaiah 58:8-9. It says, what's the if when you fast? Then your light will break forth like dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, here I am. When you fast, it's like, you know, I was never a fan of fasting. We just never did it. And then one time somebody came in, actually Betty Green came in, and she used to fast with Paul Yonggi Cho, another story. And she came in and she was talking so passionately about fasting and the results of fasting and how it had changed a nation of South Korea and all these things. And I thought to myself, I've never really done that. And I said to Scott, we went home and I said, you know, I really believe the Lord is speaking to me to really fast, to take it seriously and really do it. And he was like, yeah, me too. And so for the first time, it wasn't at the beginning of the year, it was just the first time for us, we fasted and we did the Daniel fast like hardcore. And we did it for 21 days. And I tell you what, at the end of those 21 days, we had such clarity on some things that we had been believing God for. It was truly, I can't even explain to you, it was life-changing. And from that time, after that, we started doing it at the beginning of the year. And it has been so powerful every time. And so expect results. Expect Isaiah 58 to come to pass. And I give you my word to you as your pastor. For the next 21 days, I'm going to be speaking this scripture over you. For healing in your body. For healing emotionally. For healing in relationships. For healing in past old wounds that just keep coming back and coming back. I'm going to be speaking this over you. And so I encourage you, it's always easier to do things together, right? Isn't it easier to do things together? And so let's do this together. Don't be like, well, I think I'll do it in June. No, do it now. Amen? Do it now because we're all doing it now. And everything is easier when you do it together. And then we can all, because fasting isn't easy. If it was easy, everybody do it, right? It's not easy. But it's like that, like they say, if it doesn't challenge you, it doesn't change you. And I want to change. I want more of God's way in me and less of my own. And that comes from fasting. Amen? And so I just encourage you, grab a hold of this word. Prayer starts tomorrow. We start at 7 a.m. Hallelujah. We pray for about 45 minutes, and it's powerful. And you say, well, I don't even know how to pray. Just come and be in the presence. Amen? Just come and let us teach you to pray. I learned to pray in corporate prayer. I had no idea how to pray. But prayer is just basically talking to the Lord. That's what it is. And so come. If you can't come, pray wherever you are. You know, I know people got kids. They got to get to school, all these kind of things. Pray where you're at. Amen? But let's do something different these 21 days because I want a different year. Not that last year was bad. I want a better year. Amen? I want to be used by God in a greater way. But we're going to receive our tithes and offering. Let's have the ushers come up.